Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. You got it. It's September. It's here. But it doesn't matter because every Tuesday at this time, no matter what month it is, what day it is, it's Tuesday.
Here we are.
Mike Wiggins is here with the Garden Line.
Who's singing that?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I shouldn't know that.
You should know
that. I should know that. I wouldn't.
Sure. I've been waiting for a week to play that song.
It's a great song. It really is.
Yeah, good memories from that era, I have to say. But I love Earth, Wind, and Fire in September.
Yes.
And
it's
a good song because it's a kind of, I always think of fall. It really is my favorite time of year, to be honest, because it does get a little cooler.
So just a touch. Just a touch.
You can tell, just a little bit.
That's exactly right. I sat down this morning and opened my calendar, which was on August.
Right. Flip it.
Had to flip it. Mm-hmm. And there it was, September, staring me in the face.
Right, right. It's September 1st. Rent's due, mortgages due, bills are due.
Yeah, pay for that car. And
car payments, everything's due today. Exactly. That's the downside.
Yeah. The good side is you may want to get out and dig in the dirt a little bit.
Ah.
Because there are a few things we need to do just to get ready.
Yeah,
For fall.
Well, I suspect you may have a good list for us to get started then.
Well, I did have a little list that we've probably used over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a checklist for the year, divided obviously into four seasons. And this is the checklist for fall.
Perfect.
Which is a September, October to-do list.
Okay. So folks need to get their notebooks, your gardening books out, your pen, take
exactly.
a little notes
now,
here.
Now, some of this is things that our listeners already know.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
they know what they're doing. But it always helps to kind of refresh our memories and talk about
absolutely.
Them again.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you know what? If you've just joined us for the first time, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And we have our experts here all day long, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. And what's kind of neat about this show is that we have people like Mike Wiggins on the show. Mike is the former mayor of Pensacola, but you had your own landscaping company for how many years?
Oh, it was for many, many, many years.
So he truly is an expert. And we have expert listeners, and we have an official research department. Who are our listeners?
Well, I don't know exactly how official they are.
But if you've got a question or a comment for Mike, he'll be here for an hour, so this is in this time. Send it on in, 850-437-1620. We love hearing from you. And really, he knows everything from lawns to yards to potted plants
to
other plants.
Slow down. The gardening is there's so many different aspects to it. Some of them are very complicated. You get into the chemicals and that type of thing. And there's no absolutely right way to do some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like baking a cake. You know, you can do it different ways, but it's still going to taste pretty good.
That's a good analogy for me, because if anybody can ruin a cake.
and you
say that because it's just natural to you. You know, you instinctively know how to do things. I am not. I am the one that asks the dumb questions on the show.
No, you don't.
Well, I've learned a lot, that's for sure.
I was going to say, come on.
But I don't have a green thumb. I own that. But Mike does. So
I hear you. Okay.
Let's get on to your list.
All right, here we go. Where are we here? This is a checklist for fall. All right. Number one, plant and plan for your fall vegetables. Okay, springtime is over. We've done everything we had to do. We enjoyed it. It was great. Good season for most people. But now it's time for the fall. And there's just all kind of things. And this is when I recommend that you go to your computer and download the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide, which is furnished by IFAS.
Nice.
And it's really good insofar as listing all 40 vegetables that do well here, many of which are springtime plants. But it has them coded here insofar as, how about beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, that's just the bees, cabbage. Then you go down to kale.
I like kale, okay.
You like kale?
Yeah,
no,
it's all right.
No. I bet you've never planted kohlrabi before.
Oh, no.
If nothing else, it's an odd-looking plant.
Huh.
Lettuce, mustard greens, of course, spinach, strawberries, all kind of.
So those are all good to plant in the fall.
These are all plants. But look at your guide, because it'll tell you which months mm-hmm. in the fall. Most of them you can do in September, like we're talking today. And you can do it. Now, what you need to do, though, of course, is what we really concentrated on last week, and we don't need to redo all of that, but to get that area ready for these fall vegetables. It's critical. To make a long story short, you really need to get that organic material mixed into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, of course, is Canadian sphagnum peat moss. Mix it in, put probably more than you think, turn it all under, put a little bit of lime, a little bit of light fertilizer, and you're in business. It will make a huge difference in your success.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would recommend that you do. Plan those fall vegetables. And, of course, you can do seeds, but, of course, the transplants are probably the best way to go, unless you're going to plant mustards and turnips mm-hmm. and that type of thing. And you know my favorite company, Union Springs Bonnie Plant Farms. When you go to your garden center, check that label to see if Bonnie Plant Farms grew those transplants.
Oh, that's a good tip.
If so, you're ahead of the game.
Okay.
Because they really are quality people. And what they do when they deal with a garden center, usually they do it on consignment.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the guy will come in and what has sold, he'll bill the business for. But what's sitting on the shelf, if it's had its better day, because it wasn't watered right, they just haul it away and put new ones there.
Oh.
So you're pretty much guaranteed on your good garden centers,
mm-hmm.
which most of ours are good, you're kind of guaranteed good, fresh, well-watered, well-grown transplants. So you have a good start.
And what's the name of your favorite again?
Bonnie Plant Farm.
Bonnie Plant
from
Farm.
Union Springs, Alabama.
Okay.
Never have been to Union Springs, Alabama.
Might be an interesting trip to make, yeah.
I bet these guys are high tech.
No doubt.
Exactly. There's a company I always like to look at it when I go to Atlanta. Between Montgomery and Atlanta, there is a company that grows poinsettias.
Oh.
And they grow them for the entire Southeast. And as you look at it, I mean, it looks like something out of a space program.
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing how they do that. So in any event, that's quality stuff. And that's mm-hmm. what you need to start out with. Good soil, good plants, and you're well on your way to success.
Okay. Well, we're going to come back to his list in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a couple commercials here. We're with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. And if you've got a question, now's the time to get it in at 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. If you've got a question for Mike, please text it in this morning. We got lots of time to get to your questions. So, Mike, you had your list. You're continuing on getting us ready for fall.
Well, I do. But before we do that, we got a very nice, informative email from one of our great listeners. We always call him Steve on Escambia Bay.
Right. That's how he signs all of his email texts to us.
Steve on Escambia Bay. And we had talked to him about using the ECUA compost.
Right.
As the organic material to go into the vegetable garden. So he sent us a little note here. He said these are just his thoughts.
Right.
Nothing scientific. A trial and error approach on his part. He's trying to learn to garden without the luxury of good soil, which many of us are doing. He made 6 flower beds tilling in the ECUA compost.
Right.
And see, the only plants that were, I don't want to call them a disappointment, they didn't bloom like he wanted them to, were dwarf gardenias.
Really?
It's very interesting. That's a great plant.
Mm-hmm.
Some people refer to it as gardenia radicans. That's kind of the scientific name for a dwarf gardenia. But obviously that didn't bloom. Gardenias can be kind of tricky anyway.
Okay.
They can be kind of tricky. But everything else seemed to do okay. Here's another reason they're doing okay. His beds are on separate drip systems.
Oh, my
using
goodness.
Timers.
Oh, my
using
goodness.
County water.
Mm-hmm.
He said next year, next year he's going to convert the flower beds and the yard to well water.
Wow.
But he adds to that, I'm a little hesitant to use that water on my garden. So he'll see what he does. He may want to go kind of using both of them, who, you know, see which one does best.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, we just want to say thanks to Steve for.
Oh, he always has great tips, but he sends us photos, y'all.
He's just
beautiful landscaping, beautiful garden, and he just has the best advice. So, Steve, we really appreciate you, and thank you for sending in all that information for us about, because this is the time, as you were just saying, to get your gardening beds ready.
Oh, absolutely, because fall gardening, there was an old saying in the garden center business. It was a propaganda deal, just very simple. Fall is for gardening, period. Because most people say, oh, springtime is for gardening. But fall is for gardening. And it truly is. Here in Pensacola, there's no doubt about it.
No kidding. Well, what makes it so?
Weather.
The weather?
Weather, absolutely. You don't have, in the fall, quite frankly, you don't have the varmints attacking your plants as bad as you do in the spring. You get into summer, and, you know, you got every nasty little worm in the world up there.
Right.
But in the fall, it's not as bad.
Okay.
And as you know, September's hot, let's face it.
Yeah, it is.
But as we cruise into the end of September, into October, we'll get a little bit of cool weather. I mean, when I say cool, maybe in the low 80s during the day or.
But still lots of sunshine.
Yes.
Still beautiful.
It can be. Matter of fact, that's one thing that can happen in the fall. We can be very dry, you know, and some people say, oh, you know, well, it's so dry, I can't do anything. I got to water my lawn. I really wish I'd get a little bitty tropical system in here for some rain. My reply is no.
Don't be wishing
on
it.
Don't even think that.
No.
That's crazy. No, I mean, we escaped this one over here going into.
Yeah, it just went to the west of us.
I'm
which
looking
is...
on the computer. It's, a nasty little storm.
Oh, yeah.
Right into the Texas-Louisiana border there.
So we're grateful it kind of went right past us.
Boy,
so that's good.
Isn't that the truth? Because usually in September is when we have our problems. So let's hope it stays pretty clear. So anyway, so that's the fall vegetable situation.
Okay, we got a text in from one of our listeners, from David. He says, with football finally here, yay, I hope this is the last time I have to edge the grass from growing in the monkey grass, and the Hummers are enjoying our 4 o'clocks. And then he sent us some great pictures of his lawn and the beautiful 4 o'clocks. And he did say, it's hard for me to say this. Go Gators.
What did you say?
I can't say it again. GOGATORS.
Yeah, you Georgia Bulldogs have a little problem saying that.
Yeah, I can't. But I don't know if I've ever said that in my life. So
Seminoles do, too. My only problem, I've just recently got two college graduates from the University of Florida, grandchildren.
Oh, no.
So I can't come down too hard on the Gators. But sure was glad to see my Seminoles victorious this weekend.
Yeah, I like to see them do well.
There's a lot of discussion about how we're going to do, but for now, we're 1-0, and that's good. So it was fun. And really, we ought to say that you can listen to the game on our radio station.
That's right. This is the official station right here.
That's right. Exactly.
So you can definitely tune in on the weekends and come, you know, whatever the game times are. We usually hear about an hour or two ahead of time.
Right.
Right here on this station on the Saturdays, obviously.
Right.
And it's great because you can stream it or you can listen live. So
absolutely.
It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So that's really kind of cool. Okay. Here's another one.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you have one?
Well, somebody just texted in.
Oh, what they got?
Okay, Karen just texted in. She says, good morning, Meg and Mike. This is Karen Llewellyn. I'm looking for a recommendation for a tree to be planted at the cemetery between the headstones for my parents and grandparents. Of course, it needs to have roots that will not intrude on the graveside. It can't be something that has to be pruned frequently, and it can't drop anything like gumballs or fruit. If there is there such a tree in Florida that will thrive? Thanks for your help.
Well, that is very thoughtful,
yes.
Very, very nice. I would suggest a couple of trees. A live oak is nice, if there's room there.
Right.
If there's room, a live oak is good. Now, what you're going to have is you're going to have the leaves dropping in the spring, you have to rake those.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fruit, that type of thing, falling off. But a live oak is going to be very pretty. It's going to supply over the years some shade for the gravestones, which is nice.
Right.
I know in the cemetery where my folks are buried, there's a nice oak tree right there.
Mm.
It's kind of nice to think that they're in the shade.
I like that suggestion.
Oh, absolutely. But there's some other ones, too. River birch are good.
Mm-hmm.
They're deciduous also. That's good. Also, some of the hollies might be good.
Of
the hollies, which are not deciduous. They obviously keep their leaves, and they're controllable. And many of them you really don't need to prune. Some of the, like the Savannah hollies and the American hollies, you can just let them grow to the sky. So that's good. Also, go ahead. We'll come back to it.
Yeah,
that's
a great question. But that's a really thoughtful idea, so we'll come up with a couple more ideas for you. We'll be right back on Pep Talk. Well, welcome back to the Garden Line with Mike, who is our expert, Mike Wiggins. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We're going to have a whole another half hour with Mike, so you can send in those questions at 850-437-1620. So we're just giving some ideas to one of our listeners about a gravesite.
And this might not fit what we're trying to do here, but, you know, a crepe myrtle is such a pretty tree in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the winter, when it goes dormant, it might not be quite as pretty as some of the other ones. But that's also an option. If you're looking for some color, that's what you might want to do. I would avoid a tree like a sycamore.
Mm.
I think that's too big. It's going to be too messy. It drops those big dinner plate size leaves. But let me give you one more, a magnolia. Not the grandiflora magnolia, which is big, tall growing, slow growing. Do the little Jim.
Hmm.
It's more upright growing, and I would hesitate to call it a dwarf magnolia. That would be my term. I don't think it quite fits that. But it is smaller, if you will, especially in diameter, to the traditional magnolia tree.
And it's called a little Jim?
Little Jim.
I like the name.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And think about that, because that it's going to drop leaves. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But not as many as the regular one. And it's not deciduous. It would be green year-round. So, you know, the live oak and the little Jim magnolia and the crepe myrtle, river birch, those are some things I think might work for you.
And do you recommend any sort of like little bushes perhaps or anything that might go around the gravesite?
Well, one thing I would do if you're going to do any plantings at all is plants that are drought resistant.
Mm.
Many times you're in a cemetery, you're obviously at the mercy of either Mother Nature or a sprinkler system that may not work as much as you would like it to work.
Right.
So plants, I think some of your dwarf hollies are great. The Ilex vomitoria, remember that? that's a dwarf yopon.
Mm-hmm.
Is a great plant. It mounds up very hardy, and we'll put up with dry weather.
Okay. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Got plenty of time to get those texts in to find out what you need to do to help your garden grow in this September. We're here. It's time. It's fall. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the news. Good morning. This is Pep Talk. Getting in the mood for September and fall and fall gardening and planting. You're here on the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Our guest host, who is here every week, is Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I'm going to play some of the fun music now. We're getting out of the Beach Boys and into Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's exactly right.
So good morning to you, and good morning to all of our listeners. If you've got a question about gardening and planting, we're moving into a new season now. All you got to do is text it in at 850-437-1620.
Absolutely. Now, number two on our list is fertilize azaleas and camellias lightly. So, good idea.
Okay. When you say lightly, what does that mean?
I knew you were going to ask that. I knew you were going to ask that.
Because lightly for me could be a cup, a gallon. I mean,
here we go. I got the answer for that one. I don't have all the answers, but I got that one.
Okay.
In the spring, if you're fertilizing an azalea, you use a tight handful for every foot of height.
Okay.
3 foot azaleas. 3 tight handfuls.
He's looking at me like I'm 2. He's explaining this to me with grass hands.
Okay. And of course, you put it all the way out to the drip line, the edge of the plant.
Okay.
So in the fall, what do? A tight handful for every 2 feet of height.
Oh, okay.
So you're putting, obviously, less fertilizer.
I like that. That's easy to remember.
Good.
No, it's very helpful.
Very good. Okay. Anyway, that's what you do. Now, what do you use? There are two products I think are pretty good for this.
Mm-hmm.
One is the old-fashioned azalea and camellia special. You can buy that at most garden centers. It's formulated really for azaleas, camellias, and gardenias.
Okay.
Azaleas, camellias, and gardenias. That's good. Or, if you really want to kind of do it all at once, the winterizer fertilizer, which we haven't really talked about yet.
Right.
Which you're putting on here in September.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. If you've got a spreader, a cyclone spreader, this doesn't do our tight handful justice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing that cyclone spreader, if you're throwing that winterizer fertilizer out,
right,
run it right next to your azaleas.
Oh.
And camellias.
Okay.
And gardenias.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be exactly what they need, because that winterizer fertilizer has a formula that is really going to promote root growth. And so you're doing the right thing for the fall, because what you don't need in the fall, September, is anything that's just going to pump that plant, send out that brand new, pretty green growth. You don't want that, because sooner or later, we could have that freeze, and the new growth is subject to problems there. So, in any event, that's a couple of things you want to do. Now, this is a test, Meg.
Okay.
This is a test.
Uh-oh.
Okay. How much pruning do you want to do on your camellias in the fall?
I know I should know this. 0.
Very good.
Very okay. Good.
Very good. No, you see,
0.
You got to quit saying you don't know how to do this stuff.
I'm learning. I'm getting an education right here. Okay. I am learning.
Well, I'm going to qualify that answer.
Okay, please do.
Because if you do prune your azalea, obviously the buds are already set for 2027.
Okay, and they're that ready. Makes sense to me.
So if you prune them, you're going to cut off the blooms.
Right.
Now, you probably are not going to damage the plant.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to lose some color for the spring. And a lot of people, including myself, if you have azaleas, say a hedge in front of your house.
Okay.
What's going to happen, or what has happened, is probably sent up these shoots, and they're kind of unsightly. I call them water shoots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's scientifically correct, but that's what I call them. You can go ahead and kind of trim off those water shoots so your plant looks nice and trimmed and landscaped, and that's the way you want it to look for the holidays. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you may lose a little bit of color just on those water shoots, but who cares? Your major plant is going to bloom in the spring like you want it to. So that's kind of what you do insofar as pruning. The 0 was the right answer.
Okay.
But
all right.
You might need to do a little bit of just cutting off those little shoots.
No, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
We're talking with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. He's our expert. If you've got a question, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. Okay, what you got on your list there, sir?
Number 3?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mulch your flower beds with pine straw or mulch for winter protection.
And you do that now.
You can do it
now. It's still not too warm to do that? Or?
No, no. That's because, really, you can do it any time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Any time of the year. Because what that will do will help maintain the moisture in the plant. And second, it just looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the looks of pine straw when it's put down right. When it's put down and kind of folded under on the perimeter of the bed.
You can tell when someone's taken the time to do that or when they just tossed it.
You can. I never forget. There was a where was this? It was over near a house near the Bayou Tahar.
Mm-hmm.
People had a very nice front yard, nicely landscaped. But to the left, they had almost a grove of live oaks.
Right.
And for all the live oaks, they did just that.
Mm-hmm.
Put the pine straw around it, folded it under. So it kind of has an edge.
Yeah,
to
it's
it.
Almost a circle.
Matter of fact, a lot of folks, when you do that, I'm sure our listeners know this, they'll cut an edge mm-hmm. with a shovel.
Oh.
You know, maybe a couple of inches deep mm-hmm. around the entire perimeter of the tree mm-hmm. or really of a planting. It could be an azalea bed for that matter. That way you can kind of easily fold that pine straw under and it looks good. Do you remember, Meg, where we buy our pine straw? Let me back that up. There's a lot of places to buy a pine straw.
True.
But one of my favorites is...
You've said it before and I can't remember.
Lucky's.
There it is, Lucky's.
Lucky's, which is right down the street, just, say a block or so, down from the farmer's market.
Okay.
On the west side of the street. And they have really nice, fresh pine straw. You've got to be careful.
You had mentioned that about it has to be fresh.
That's right, because many times you get a bale of pine straw, you buy it somewhere that's been sitting in a truck or... sitting in a yard for, all summer, and you start putting the pine straw out in the middle, it's kind of, I guess, for lack of a better word, this isn't very scientific, it's kind of rotted.
Mm.
It's just gray and nasty.
I've seen that before.
And
almost
plus,
moldy sometimes.
Moldy, that's a better word, exactly. And you got to be careful that if you buy a pine straw, you don't want to buy a pine straw that's got a bunch of sticks in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anyway, Lucky's is a good place. But there are some other ones, too. But just kind of be careful of the pine straw that you buy. Now, what if you don't like pine straw?
What are your other options?
What are your other options? I like cypress mulch.
Okay.
Cypress mulch is good because it really doesn't wash away as fast as some of your other mulches do.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good. And it's easy to edge. You can just kind of get your rake and push
what
it back.
What color is that?
It's kind of a brownish, kind of a light brown.
Mm-hmm.
Really very nice.
And mm-hmm.
You can buy it by the bag, about a 2-cubic-foot bag. Doesn't cover as much. You generally need, if you say, I think I need about 4 or 5 bags, well, you might as well say, I need 7 or 8 bags because generally you need more than you think.
Okay.
But you want to put it on relatively thick,
a couple
of inches at least.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cypress mulch. Then you've got your pine bark mulch, which I kind of like, some of the bigger pieces of pine bark.
Yeah, those look good sometimes.
I think it has its place.
Mm-hmm.
It's much darker than the cypress mulch and darker than the pine straw. But I think it has its place.
Mm-hmm.
They all serve really the same purpose, keeping that moisture in and keeping things look good.
Okay. We'll be back with Mike Wiggins with more tips for you on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Text your questions on in. This is Pep Talk. Good morning. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Gotten lots of questions rolling in now at 850-437-1620. Okay, Mike, here's one for you. It says a bit off topic. This is from Tim, and he's asking, is there a good analog for black cow that is easier to distribute? So you
let's do black cow first, which is an animal manure, if you will, which has been a staple for gardening in Pensacola. Remember how we put the peat moss down?
Yes.
Getting our vegetable garden right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will put black cow, not as much as you put peat moss,
right,
but maybe a shovelful and spread it over the area and work it in also. I'm a little confused about the word analog. I wonder if...
They meant substitute for black cow?
Yeah, meant substitute.
Mm-hmm. Or a good alternative for black cow.
Now,
okay.
Now, I don't think using the black cow is absolutely mandatory. I think the peat moss is more important.
Okay.
So that may be what you would substitute for the black cow. But I guess I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Be very careful about what animal manure you use.
Oh.
You have to be very careful. Some people will use some that will burn their plants. So be very careful to talk to your garden center salesman, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the black cow's good. Black cow is a composted material.
Okay.
It's not pure.
Okay.
It's composted. And it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. But be careful insofar as what you substitute for it. I would rather you use nothing and stick with the peat moss as opposed to using one, an animal manure that might burn.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, that's kind of where I'd go with that. If we've got that right, if the word...
He says, I'm sorry, this is in reference to a lawn.
Okay. No. Okay, let me back up.
Okay.
So I would not use that on the lawn.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's going to serve your purpose very well at all.
Okay.
I would simply use your basic lawn amendments. Winterizer in the winter, 16-08 fertilizer in the spring. If it's St. Augustine, maybe a little higher nitrogen in the summer. Checking for lime, adding lime to it. If you have some very bare spots, maybe a little bit of white builder sand to help correct that problem. But I wouldn't put any of those animal manures on my lawn.
Interesting.
I think you could really, you might have some burning problems there.
I
would avoid that. Personally, I would.
Okay, good advice and a great question. If you've got a question for Mike, this is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Got another question for you. Back to the subject we were talking about a few minutes ago. Will mulch or pine straw keep the weeds from growing? If not, do you have any suggestions? Thank you.
The answer to that is yes. Oh, no question. Especially a good pine straw mulch. Put it on thick.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on thick. Maybe even almost... 8 to 12 inches thick, and then the rain's going to pack it down. So you're going to have a pretty good packed mulch in your bed. Yes, that will inhibit weeds. Now, what you might want to do, a couple of things. There's a product called Preem that is a granular that in that bed where you're putting your pine straw down, sprinkle a little of that in there. That acts as a pre-emergence. Remember we talked about pre-emergence to keep weeds from coming up in lawns? Preem will keep the weeds from coming up in your flower bed.
Mm.
Now, it's Pensacola. It ain't perfect, I'll tell you. But it really will help. And, of course, you could use some of your non-selective weed killers around it, like some of the old Roundup products, which are now a new formulation, by the way, just so you don't get it on any of the green part of your plants. So there are different ways to control those weeds, but the mulch is probably the best way to start.
Okay, and how do you, someone just texted, how do you spell Preem?
P-R-E-E-M,
two E's.
I think.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I went to Florida State, come on.
Hey, I have so many things I could say.
I think, try that. Yeah, let's look that up and see if I got that right.
Okay, I'll double check it. Get the research department on it.
Oh, yeah, they're asleep.
Okay, I got another nice text that just came in from our girl Catherine, who's so wonderful, always brings us goodies here at the station. And she had sent us, the Garden Club had had their event a couple weeks ago and said it's amazing. You would expect the Garden Club to have great table arrangements,
no
right?
No doubt.
But she says in this one, she says, wishing everyone a safe Labor Day weekend. Also, and I did not know this, wishing Mr. Wiggins a fun-filled birthday Friday.
Happy birthday,
Mike.
Thank you very much.
I did not know that. Thank you, Catherine, for that heads up.
Thank
That's
you,
very
Catherine.
Sweet.
That's very, very nice. I don't count them anymore.
Whoa, I understand that.
But thank you very, very much.
Oh, that's very sweet. Well, happy birthday, Mike.
Well, thank you very much.
Are you doing special this Labor Day? It's kind of nice to have your birthday fall on Labor Day weekend.
Well, it is nice. Of course, my birthday, many, many years. We talked about this one time before.
Right.
Many years. For my birthday, we've been hunkered down because we had a tropical storm headed our way.
That's
it's
true.
It always seems
What's
that.
What's the date on Friday? Is that September
4th?
4th. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that day.
Oh, absolutely. So, anyway, but thank you. Thank you very
much. Okay. Wow. I wish I'd known I would have brought you something for your birthday. I'll have to
You can always do it next week.
Okay.
No,
this is why I love the guy. If you've got a question, this is the Garden Line. You can ask the birthday boy when we come back from a break here in just a minute. 850-437-1620. Also, you can, if you're in your car, maybe you wanted to take some notes, but you just can't, obviously. You can always re-listen to this broadcast. We play it again on Saturday mornings, so you can hear it right here on this station. Or you can go to our podcast page at newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, click on expert panel. channel, or he even has his own section, The Garden Line. Wow. And you can look at all the episodes are there, and you can even download them to listen to.
That's
so.
Probably a great way to spend your Labor Day.
Hey, why not?
Well, you know, I don't know. There may be some better things to do.
But it is a good help if you wanted to go back and look at an episode and hear something. It's there for you.
Absolutely.
All right, we will be back with The Garden Line Pep Talk and Mike Wiggins in just a minute. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. We're here with Mike Wiggins, who's going to be celebrating a birthday this Friday. So happy birthday again, Mike.
Well, thank you very much. Now, we did hear, believe it or not, from the research department.
Yes, we did.
I don't know. Where have they been?
On vacation, clearly.
I think so. But they did indicate that we spelled it right.
We were talking about the pre-emergent,
pre-emergence for plants.
Right. So P-R-E-E-M. Mm-hmm. And it is a pre-emergent weed control for flower and vegetable gardens. And it's called P-R-E-E-M. And you can get it just about anywhere. Not to be confused, however, with the Preem Swedish Energy Company that sells major Swedish petroleum and biofuels. Yeah. So you don't want to put that on your garden. Make sure it's not the Swedish.
I think our research department got a little confused.
Right.
That's a little more information than we needed.
Correct. But so just to make sure, just to clarify.
I think to make it short, don't put gasoline on your lawn. Okay?
Thank you very much. Especially if you have pine straw mulch and you smoke.
And you smoke cigarettes. Yeah.
So let's be clear, we're not recommending that.
No, we're not. That's funny.
Oh, my goodness. So we have so many different solutions here. Mike is such an expert on all of this and getting our gardens ready for fall. A couple more little tips. We've got just a minute.
Well, the
or
only
left.
One I have, and over the years, we've talked about digging up your caladium bulbs that you planted. Mm-hmm. Remember the ones we always recommend you order from Caladiums, Florida, down in Lake Placid. Over the years, many people have quit digging them up because they have come back up of their own, just on their own, which is great. I had that experience. I used to dig them up and put them in a croaker sack and let them dry out and all that stuff. As I had more birthdays, I quit doing that.
Right.
And sure enough, here they came back up. So it almost, this is a stretch, turned into a perennial, a plant that comes back year after year. You will find that caladiums, when we get into the end of the season, end of September, will kind of fall over. They'll have had their better day. But maybe there's a solution. Maybe they'll come back.
Okay. All right. This is the end of The Garden Line for today, but we'll be back again next week. You can also hear the show on Saturday mornings right here on News Radio 92.3. Mike, happy birthday, buddy. You're the greatest.
Thank you, man. You're the best ever.
No, you're the best, buddy. You're absolutely the best. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line.